here, Lord God. Thank you that the revelator, the Holy Spirit, is here, that every ear is a listening ear, every heart is a receptive heart to the word of God, and that the word falls on good ground, Lord, in Jesus' name, and brings forth much fruit, Lord, to your glory and to your honor, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You all may be seated. I thank y'all for coming tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank y'all. God sees you. He sees you here. See your obedience. Praise God. And that's important, because if we can obey who we see, we can obey who we can't see. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Okay, Pastor had been talking on Sunday nights on the benefits of commitment to righteousness. And as I thought about the word righteousness, and then I studied it some, and basically, righteousness is what is right in God's eyes. What's right in God's eyes? What's right according to God's word? And so our text tonight, if you want to turn to it, will come from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. What's right in God's eyes? And a lot of times, what's right in God's eyes is not what's right in man's eyes. Praise God. Thank God that turned out to our salvation. Amen. And turned out to some other people's salvation too, because we probably would have put people in hell a lot of times. Amen. And written people off, Lord. But we thank you. It's not by our righteousness, it's by what you think is right. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 29 through 31. When I first got filled with the Holy Ghost, this passage was, God just really made it rhema to me, and it really was the first thing that took me to the next level, or took me to, you know, the next level of glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 29 through 31, and it says that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. We didn't have anything to do with that, did we? I mean, all we had to do was receive it, but I mean, he made it where, you know, I want you through Christ Jesus. I want you to be a part of my family through Christ Jesus. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. God has made Christ Jesus our wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So any glory that we glory in Christ Jesus being our wisdom and being our righteousness and being our sanctification and being our redemption. We glory in Christ Jesus being that within us. And so we know that we obtain unto righteousness, of course, not by what we do or what we say, but we obtained unto righteousness by receiving the gift of righteousness by Jesus Christ. And therefore, we can conclude that commitment to righteousness is a commitment to renew our minds. To renew our minds and hearts so that our mind and heart agree with the righteousness that God has put inside of us. Amen. And that's a lifelong thing, isn't it? Renewing our mind. So that's a commitment to righteousness. In other words, it's a commitment to know and understand fully and operationally, so we can walk in what God did in here. So we can walk in that righteousness, so that our mind and spirit and soul are all working together. Amen. And so as we are committed to righteousness, or that to walk out that gift that's in us, as we are committed to renew our minds and hearts to match up with the gift of righteousness that's in us, we experience various levels of benefits. And that, I believe you would say, would be the kingdom of God. We experience various levels of benefits in the kingdom of God, or we experience the kingdom experience. Amen. Would y'all submit that to you tonight? So the more we renew our minds and are diligent to renew our minds to match what God did in our spirit, then I believe we will experience more, you know, higher levels, from level to level, glory to glory, of the benefits that are ours in the kingdom of God, that inheritance that God has given us. I think we experience it more fully. Amen. Okay, so first of all, let's go back to that scripture that we were looking at, the scripture passage, and let's look at verse 30, that Jesus Christ is our, now I reverse the order, okay? He said wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I reverse the order. So first one I went to was our redemption. Went to the last one because to me that's where it starts. You know, he is our redemption. We were on that plantation, sin plantation, I call it, instead of Mr. Jack's plantation or whoever, Mr. Sherrod's plantation. We were on sin's plantation. And then God brought us. He paid and bought us and got us out of the sin plantation. So in other words, he redeemed us from the penalty of sin. And that was paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, and then go back to verse 30. I went to righteousness from there. I went from redemption to righteousness. And that's another benefit. So I say the first benefit is we are redeemed from the penalty of sin. When we, you know, we don't, Jesus went to the cross for us. We don't have to go to the cross. Don't have to, thank God, don't have to go to the cross. Some of us don't even want to get a shot. How would you do the cross? Don't want to get a shot. Don't want anything. Any type of procedure. Is it going to hurt? My Lord. Thank God he went to the cross. We couldn't have made it. Okay, so next, he is our righteousness. That is that through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and he was the perfect sacrifice, the once for all sacrifice, then we have been acquitted of all guilt. All your guilt has been erased. Erased. We've been purged of all our sin and justified. And as they say, just as if I never sinned. And made right with God according to God's righteousness. Hallelujah. That's something that God did. It's a gift and we just received it. And then another benefit I see from this, I went to sanctification. Now that's ongoing. That is ongoing, 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 ongoing. And I guess actually redemption is ongoing because, as you know, you need the blood. When we take communion, we remember what the blood did. Amen. And sometimes we need to go and run through the blood so we can do that. Go run through the blood and get that washed off. Whatever it is, get it washed off. But Jesus is our sanctification. We've been separated from sin. When we were redeemed, we were separated from sin. And now we go through a continual thing of separation from the power of sin. That's a continual thing. That's a sanctification is a continual process. As long as you stay in the process and stay on the wheel of the potter's wheel of sanctification and stay on there and keep letting the word wash us, amen, and keep letting the spirit cleanse us, amen, and then we proceed with sanctification. So sanctification saves us from the power of sin. Jesus is our sanctification, and he saved us from the power of sin, and we have to walk that out, amen. You got to walk out sanctification. It's done when you receive him as your sanctification, but you kind of like, it's a continual thing. It's the present perfect. I think that's the right way to say it. Present perfect is continual. It's continual, continual, continual. So it's not a one time, like a one event that happened and now I'm sanctified. You sanctified, but it's sanctification. It's a continual process. Amen. So we've been separated from sin, made righteous. Then the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is keeping us separated from sin, away from sin, and separated unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we can be used by him to do his will in the earth. And that's being delivered from the power of sin. And then when the rapture comes, of course, we'll be delivered from the presence of sin. But you know, I don't know why, I guess I was just naive. I used to think when I first got saved, you know, I'm supposed to be delivered from the presence of sin too. So if you do anything wrong and you're around me, you need to get away from me. You're ugly, you know. And I had to, you know, God had to correct me on that. He said, how are they going to see or know me if they can't come around you? You don't act like them, but you can't just wall yourself off and put yourself in a little jail in your house, you know. You got to go be around people and let them, you know, let them see me. Because when they see you, they see me. That's what he said, you know, to me. And so that let me know. And so then I kind of got my head together, you know, stop acting stupid. But but I know I was the only one who was acting like that, thinking like that. That was just, I look back, I said, and then Jesus Christ has made unto us our wisdom. He is our wisdom. He is our access to whatever we need to know. The Holy Spirit will tell us if we need to know something presently. He'll tell us if we need to know something about the future. He'll tell us. Amen. We just have to seek him and sit still and get, let our spirit get quiet, let our mind get quiet, our mind and our soul get quiet, so we can hear. And he'll reveal to us. He'll reveal to us whatever we need to know. He'll tell us what we need to do or how we need to handle something, or he'll just tell us what we need to know so that we reign. Amen. So that we reign by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. So if you would look in your Bibles with me, some of the things that we can renew our mind with, this is not an exhaustive list by any means, but just some of the things at Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. We've been studying Ephesians in our Sunday school class, and as we renew our mind, these things, our mind won't be renewed by just reading them here tonight, but as we meditate on these things and mutter these things and just receive each little good little tidbit in the scripture as something that God has given us, then we will find that we will experience higher levels of the benefits of God. We'll experience more of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. But it's locked up in our meditation of the word, and locked up in our studying and getting our mind changed as to how we think, and to line up how we think about ourselves and others with how God sees us. Amen. Amen. In that first chapter, I know you're familiar with it, in verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So everything that belongs to Jesus Christ, right there at the right hand of God the Father, is ours. It's ours. We are blessed with all the everything, that every blessing in the Spirit. It's ours in the Spirit. Now sometimes we may have to pray. We might have to, you know, pray in tongues or follow certain instruction for that to manifest in this world. But it's ours. It's ours. Hallelujah. We have to receive it and then just listen to God's instruction on how to have it manifest. Verse 4 says, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Now that the whole reason for him choosing us is because he wanted to get rid of the sin, then he wanted us to take this word and begin to think of ourselves and look at ourselves and others like he looks at us, and so that he could present us to himself as a bride, like a virgin, you know, a bride that's a virgin, has never been touched, it's holy and pure and chaste. And so that's the idea here. That we take that word and let the word wash us and let the Spirit wash us, and then when the rapture, you know, when he comes back, then he'll receive us holy and faultless and blameless, because we let that word wash our mind and cause our mind and heart to think and agree with our spirit. Amen. And verse 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, we are in a family. We're in the family of God according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 13 says, In whom we also trusted after that we heard, 65. After that we heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We've been sealed. And that's what we're praying for so many others to experience that this week, to be sealed. Yes, hallelujah. I'm just so excited about that. I can just see all the Baptist people getting sealed with the Holy Ghost and going back to those Baptist churches, turning them out, turning the service out. Hallelujah. Praise God. They can't give everybody left for the fellowship. I mean, they can give a few, but if enough get filled with the Holy Ghost, the administration in the church has to change. Hallelujah. That'd just be so. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We can't put this on the radio. Okay. Okay. Then chapter 2 and verse 5 says, when we were dead in sins, God made us alive together with Christ, and by grace we are saved. Hallelujah. We've been quickened. We've been made alive. And he raised us up together. That's where we have to always see ourselves and see each other. Up there. Seated. Seated with Christ. Whenever that thing comes and it seems like it's bigger than us, we can't be bigger than us because we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. We're far above. We just have to keep reminding it and remind ourselves, I'm up here. I'm way up here. I'm over this. I'm over you. You ain't no big bad wolf. I'm over you. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches, as verse 7. This is what he's doing now, showing us the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. As we renew our mind and renew our hearts and our mind to think like the word says, think like God says, and see ourselves like God sees us, and see others like God sees them. Then we'll experience. The things he's done for us, they are great, and we thank him and we praise him. But we have not nearly seen what he wants to do for us. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. We haven't nearly experienced what our heirship in the kingdom is all about. Yes. I mean, there's so much more. Yes. So much more. Amen. Okay, and verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship. We have to always remember that. We are his workmanship. You know, sometimes saints get into trying to tell each other something that the Bible didn't say about each other. But we have to remember, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And let that be a focal point for us. I'm his workmanship, created for good works. And God has prepared and chosen that this is what I walk in. I'm created for good works, and that I walk in good works. Okay, let's look at verses 21 and 22 of the second chapter. And it says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. And this is the body of Christ as a whole. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And so when the saints come together, it's supposed to be a holy temple. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the more we, again, it's all about getting our mind renewed, the more we stay on that continual path of letting that word wash us, then when we come together, it's more of a habitation of God. Hallelujah. In the Spirit. Forgiveness is real important here. Forgiveness is real important. Not being thin-skinned. I remember when I first really started walking with God after I became an adult, and I remember I was fussing about something somebody had done to me, and one of the old sisters in the church said, "You got to be thick-skinned. You can't be thin-skinned. You can't wear your feelings on your sleeve." I never forget that. You know, I hadn't thought about that. I said, you know, she's right. She's right. I can't wear my feelings on my sleeve. And so that, because that will stop the Holy Spirit from, you know, doing what he wants to do. When if we wear our feelings on our sleeve, or if we sit there while everybody's praising God, worshiping God, we just sit there like, I don't know why charismatic people chew gum. I don't know why, you know, we came up in Baptist church, they pass you a Kleenex to get rid of that gum, you know. But charismatics, me chewing that gum, sitting up in praise and worship. But if everybody would just, you know, if we're praising God, if everybody would just praise God, I mean, we would see God do some miraculous things. If everybody just get on one accord and make that temple. And even in the home, if everybody just get on one accord. And if you could just renew the mind of that person who always have to be right. I don't care. In every family, there's one that's always got to be right. Always got to have the last word. Got to have the last say. If you can get their mind renewed so everybody can be on one accord. Amen. The Holy Spirit will just be more so in the family. Amen. Praise God. Well, I believe we're going to stop and then receive our tithes and offering, and then we're going to head on out. Head on out. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. So your takeaway, there are benefits to being committed to righteousness, and the more we get our mind renewed and heart renewed to think like God thinks about ourselves and others, then we will experience those things. Hallelujah. To a greater extent. Hallelujah. But most of it is just humbling ourselves and just saying, I receive.